32. Jesus loves even me.
Churches there in Asia. These words are written directly to us as well.
Amen.
Making things personal. I know sometimes it's, you don't want to get personal with folks. Well, the song that he just called out a few minutes ago, The Solid Rock, that song is very personal. And that song, the second and third verses, I want to put you in a mind of where these people in Smyrna were. That's where we are, Revelation chapter 2. We're talking about the church in Smyrna. Okay? So make your way over there. And we sang it, but were we really paying attention to what the songwriter said? He says, when darkness seems to hide His, Christ's face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Remember what we learned from the church of Ephesus? Remember your first love. Repent and do thy first works. Rest on God's grace, not the graces of men or the mercies of men or our circumstances, but God's grace. In every high and stormy gale, in every hurricane, every wind that blows that God sends, we're resting on Him. My anchor holds. Jesus is that anchor within the veil. His oath, His promise, His covenant, His blood. Think about that. His oath, His covenant, His blood. Who's Jesus? He will not break His oath. He will not break His covenant. And it's all secured by His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. It doesn't say it keeps me away from the flood. It says when the flood is right here in my house, I'm kept by all that. When all around my soul gives way, well, if all around your soul gives way, that tells me that your soul was not given way because it's anchored in His blood, oath, His covenant, and His blood. When all else is is giving way, He then is all my hope and stay. That we're going to learn more. That song certainly did sweeten the pot, you could say, about the church here in Smyrna. Now, Smyrna was a prosperous and beautiful city in the Roman province of Asia. It was about 50 miles north of Ephesus. So we think we're, you know, alone out here in a vehicle, you know, a couple hundred miles away from north side there in Oakdale. These people, 50 miles, however people traveled for 50 miles, that was a good journey.
Yes.
And we're going to learn about the people here in Ephesus. He says that he knows their poverty, but then he indicates that they're rich in Christ. But he's saying, hey, you guys are poor people. So they can't just take off a weekend and go to a conference like some of us can.
Right.
These people didn't have means to do so. And they were in a very prosperous city there in Asia Minor. So it was discussed this morning about different levels or different types of believers. Well, no, there's, like you said, Brother Charlie, there's only one. There's not a black believer and a white believer and an Asian believer and a rich or poor believer. Just believers. That's what they are. But these believers, they were in a city that for political reasons had granted Rome to build a temple to their emperor Tiberius. In Roman culture, they worshipped their emperors as deity. So they had a temple for Tiberius right there in Smyrna. And like Pergamos, their temple warden of this imperial cult worship was big time there. They really got into the stuff. This pagan practice of emperor worship resulted in much persecution of the church. In fact, just about 100 years after this letter was delivered, Polycarp, the disciple of John and minister in Smyrna, lost his life over preaching the gospel. Smyrna is only mentioned in these few verses in chapter 1 of Revelation and chapter 2. And this, if you look at the churches, if you divide them out by verses, there's just a few verses here. So what in the world are we going to talk about for 45 minutes out of this church? I think there's quite a bit to talk about. And this church, this place is in Turkey, under the Turkish present city of Izmir. So let's look at this through these seven spirits. We discussed this before, and I don't think we can talk too much about this. Frankly, y'all, it's new to me. I haven't seen it before, and I'm excited. So you got to bear with me about these seven spirits. We have the Spirit of the Lord. Well, the Spirit of the Lord, remember, John was in the Spirit when he got this message in the first place. And it's to be understood that these people, when they read this, they were supposed to read it in the Spirit, not in their own flesh or in their own defensiveness. As we look at these things, we should look at these things in the Spirit of the Lord. And as we're reading in our daily devotionals and these types of things, again, these are personal things. We can't look at this and say, yeah, that's the message of Smyrna. That doesn't apply to me. Well, I think it does apply to us. But if it doesn't apply to us, then maybe it applies to somebody you know and I know, and we can be an encouragement to them. Again, this is written. I know it was given a message by Jesus. This is God's message to these people. But a man who was in prison wrote to these people these words. So he had, I'm sure, a little bit of sympathy to what he was writing here. And we'll get to that in a few moments in a second. So the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might. Remember that those other ones are kind of humbling attributes or spirits, but might, power, that's in Christ and of Christ. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. His might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. So those are our seven spirits. So to get us in the mood to read about our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's read a few passages from the Old and New Testament. First of all, Daniel in chapter 3. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And we know Now that we're starting with this, we know what's going to happen. They set up this image, and they're going to blow all these instruments and play all these songs. And when it happens, then everybody's supposed to bow down and kneel, and it's to his image. That kind of sounds like what was going on in Smyrna. They had an image. They had a temple to these Caesars, right? Same scenario. Pick it up in verse 8. Wherefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O deity that we're worshiping, and you've made your own statue here, live forever, they're saying. What blasphemy. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and the harp, and the sackbut, and psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, he that should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. There are certain men of God that have been placed in Smyrna at the time John wrote this. There are certain men and women that are placed right here at Grace Bible Baptist Church to do a thing that God has told us to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up, parentheses, in your image, in parentheses. Yes. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, you don't go along with the world's traditions and their things. You follow after God, they won't get mad or upset. They'll become enraged and furious. And the only reason that we can meet here unmolested right now is the safety and the providence of God Almighty. Men have not changed. They have not. You want to get somebody good and mad, you tell them that they're lost and they need a Savior. And that's probably the most loving thing you could tell somebody. So he was enraged and furious. He commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they were brought, these men, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true? Well, surely you wouldn't do this. Is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, dare you not serve my gods, even the God that I set up, my own self? Will you not serve me? Will you not serve, as Isaiah described, the thing that you cut it up, and part of it you warm yourself, and part of it you cook with, and part of it you heat yourself, and then the other part you stick a statue? You're not going to worship these things? Now if you be ready that at that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. He was ready to do it. This wasn't an idle threat. He was ready to throw these fellows in a fire. That's how mad he was. And who is that great God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I think now that man that sent his little servant said, Oh yeah, we conquered all the other... Sennacherib, that's his name. We conquered all these other gods. Why is your God any different? We're going to come in and conquer you too. Yeah, they will. That's not how God operates. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and listen to what their answer is. And when we read their answer, you can fast forward about 1,500 years, and that's the exact answer that the people of Smyrna are going to give these people. And we're going to get there in just a minute, but this is to set the tempo here. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, this doesn't say that they're, you know, 6'10" and they're big brawny guys. They could have been little meager guys, little weakling guys, children they could have been. But they weren't careful to answer them about their God. It was personal to them. They took it personally about what this king was saying about their God. He says, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Yes, he can. God can do anything. He certainly can. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, king, if we deny you, And you throw us in that furnace, then God's still God, but we're not going to answer you the way you're going to have us. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not conform to the religion that you have set up here in any way. They didn't say, well, we won't bow down, but we'll bow our heads. They didn't compromise. We will not bow down. We will not acknowledge your God. They are your God. They are not our God. We will not worship them. We will not bow down. No. Firm. No. And then you know the story. You know, the king, he was mad. He did what he said he was going to do. He did. And then Jesus was right there with him. Well, our friends in Smyrna, their account isn't that different, but their outcome was different. Spoiler alert, they died. They died. Matthew chapter 10. And if you think these things don't apply to us, I think that it's the world's changing faster than ever. We'll say it that way. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Division. Things are going to happen. You line up with me, Christ says, and things are going to happen to you. For I am come to set a man at variance or at odds against his father, and the daughter against her mother. He's not teaching a law against the Ten Commandments to dishonor your mother or father. He's saying, you follow after me, and there'll be a natural division there. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. For a man's foes will be they of his own household, his own blood, his own kindred. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross or crucifies his own self, puts his own self to death for the sake of Christ, and followeth not after me, is not worthy of me. Let these words echo in your minds and in your hearts. Keep them there while we turn over to Smyrna in just a few minutes. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's life. Now, not all of us have to be put to death to have life in Christ, but to give over our lives in servitude and crucifying our own will, our own filthy will. John chapter 15. I think we're getting the point here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He tries it. He takes it on a trial run. Keep that in your mind. That it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Dwell in me. Stay in me. In Christ. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When everything else is going wild, he's our hope and stay. Abide in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, the gist of what we're going to talk about is at the end of this chapter. But I think we need to look at the beginning of the chapter to see more relevance at the end of the chapter. If a man abide not in me, or if he goes away, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it said this morning, do you get to live the life you want to live? Well, if you're in Christ, yes, you get to live the life you want to live. You don't want to do all that filthiness. I don't want to do all that filthiness, and I want to live in Christ. So, yes, I get to do exactly what I want to do. And sometimes my flesh, a lot, pops out. But doing things, abiding in Christ, we should live after a manner of Christ. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Get a hold of that. As the Father loves Jesus, so does Jesus love His people. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. But what's our commandment? We have the Ten Commandments, but what's our commandment? To go. Spread the gospel. Go. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Remember, in the prayer in John 17, He said, I have glorified your name among men. And I have, I have magnified your name on earth and glorified your name among men. That's how He said it. Two things He did. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, brethren, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This isn't talking about a gain as godliness kind of a thing. He's talking to a people that He was going to soon leave and leave in a bad spot. These people were going to be hunted down, many of them, for their lives. We're talking about joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He's planting the seed of possibility of laying down your life. And if He laid down His life and He's our friend, shouldn't we be a friend to Christ and be willing to lay down our lives? No, it doesn't hold the same weight. My death will not save a single person. But we should take it very seriously. We should. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, He may give it you. These things I have commanded, that you love one another. Now here's the bite. That's the fun part, but here's the bite. If the world hates you for doing what? For going, for spreading the gospel, for bearing fruit. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would not love his own. If the church of Smyrna were going along to get along, no problem. But they had a love of Christ. They really did. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Not just out of meanness, but out of what we're doing, out of our going and bearing fruit. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Wouldn't it be wonderful if something happened to us for the sake of Christ's name? I say wonderful. You read some of these people, what they went through. There's nothing wonderful about that other than the grace of God. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin, no covering, there's no hiding. You push somebody hard enough, and I don't mean in a mean or arrogant way, but you tell somebody often enough, they're going to get mad. And some people are set up high and they have the power to throw you in the fire. And some people, they don't, but they wish they could. I've never had anybody pull a gun on me or anything, but I had a dog put on me one time. And people get mad. And I don't know how much devil was in that person to let the dog loose, but I think that dog was full of the devil. Anyway, he said, if I had not done, I just read that, verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, fear of the Lord, spirit of the Lord, proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, ye, you, me, Joey, Charlie, Pat, Jill, us bear witness. It says, ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, we haven't been from the beginning, but we have been told. We shall bear witness. We are witnesses of what Christ has done for us. So with these things in mind, Revelation chapter 2. He says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this is the same God and Lord Jesus that presented himself. His hair is still white. His eyes are still a flame of fire. His tongue is still a two-edged sword. He's still draped from top to bottom in white linen. His feet are as fine brass steel, and his voice is still the sound of many waters. And these words are just as true to Smyrna as they are to us today. He's still in the midst of his people. He's still there. He still has a specific word that we should take, again, very, very personally. He says, these things saith the first and the last. This stresses that the message, again, wasn't simply one from their fellow John. This isn't John's message. This is a message directly from God. Do we have hearts to hear what God would say to us tonight? Do we have an energy about us that we would hear what God is saying to us? In John chapter 8, verse 58, he says, before Abraham was, I am. He is the I am, the first and the last. In Psalm chapter 41, verse 13, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting into everlasting. Amen and amen. A couple other Psalms I have noted here. Psalm chapter 90. Says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place, or our refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, and the world even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Amen. Why are we reading this? Because they're about to get sucker punched. They're about to get a little bit of bad news, which is a little bit of good news. It's good hearing good bad news from a person who has the ability to see you through it. You know, if at work, if somebody comes to me and they got a problem, I say, "Hey, look, I got some bad news. You have this problem." But then I say, "Hey, look, I got some good news. We can deal with it, right?" That's great. But I say, "Hey, look, you got bad news here, and I don't know what we're going to do." You know, what's your response to that? He's going to give them some bad news, but he's giving them some good news here first. This is coming from He that is the great I Am. The One that is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherefore He hath girded Himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. This fellow that we are describing, the God, Lord Jesus, He keeps that world position going that it cannot be shaken unless He says, be it shaken. And He will one day. But if He has that kind of power, He has the kind of power to see these people through what He's about to tell them. This kind of power. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. You are the everlasting God. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. We know about flooding. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Water is destructive. It really is. But God, You're higher than that. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies, or Your commandments, are very sure. God, what You say cannot be undone. Holiness becometh Thine house, O Lord, forever. Psalm 103, we read this as a message not too long ago. 103, verse 1 through 4, then verse 17. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know, a lot of these psalms were written when these people were in great distress. They were having lots of good problems. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon him that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, the first and the last. These things saith the first and the last to you in Smyrna. And we know that Jeremiah chapter 31 says, the Lord had appeared to me in the old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We know what Daniel chapter 4 says. We know what Romans chapter 6 says. I think we get the point. He's an everlasting God. So the first and the last, He's talking to these people. Now notice how delicate in the next line is, how delicate the Lord Jesus is. He's careful to tell them that He was dead. He says, which was dead and is alive. Well, He's about to tell them, you're going to die. But I was dead and I'm alive. Right? You see that? See how careful He is? How soft that is? And He tells them right before there, which was dead and is alive. This is highly important. They would soon be captured for the cause of Christ. They would soon be put to death. He is writing them. This is John writing them, again, who was on this island for preaching Christ and doing the same. He had sympathy here as well. These people are going to be put to death for Christ. This is not a letter with an escape plan. There's no safety valve here. This is not a letter to tell them to, hey, lighten up. It's getting too hot over there. You need to back off a little while, or maybe change your tactics a little bit. This is a letter telling these dear saints to not fear what man would do unto them. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Don't you fear what man can do? Do you fear what he that can deal with the soul and the body? Fear that man. But He's also telling them, He's not putting their eyes on the circumstances. He's saying, look to Christ. Look to Jesus. What a simple and blessed message. Look to Jesus. Look to Him who is risen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Laying aside every weight. You know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. We know. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, let's read that one. That one's a fun one to read. He says, who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? He's saying, fellas, you're guilty to these people. You're guilty to them. You are condemned, and under their rules and regulations, you're condemned and you're going to die. But he that was dead and is now alive has a message for you, and he has a message for us. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful Savior and friend we have in the Lord Jesus. Well, the next step here, he says, I know thy works. We covered that last time. We know your endeavors. We know what you're busy about. He says, I know what you're doing. I'm right there with you. I know what you're doing. And tribulation. And we know what tribulation is. And poverty. But thou art rich. These people, again, were beggarly. They weren't just on the low end of the scale. They were poor. They were hand-to-mouth poor. Living in dirt poor. In a prosperous city. The fact that these folks teach that God will fill your every desire, and that His expectation for His people would be that we would just be rich beyond our wildest imaginations, and that our pockets would be lined, and we'd be driving, you know, these wonderful automobiles, gain His godliness. You've seen them on the TV, you've heard them on the radio. That's simply not biblical, and it's inconsistent with the gospel. It's inconsistent with the life of Christ. These people were poor. God has all kinds. Lazarus was poor. He wasn't, you know, middle class. He was poor, beggarly. These people were poor. We need to have a mindset that we would be kind to the poor, you know. We really should. But he acknowledges their poor, their poorness. He doesn't overlook it because it makes them uncomfortable. It makes them uncomfortable, makes him uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. You're not supposed to talk about politics or money with folks, but he says, hey, I know you're poor, but think about the riches that you have, is what he says. We were talking this morning after the service that the loser of that boxing match last night won $100 million. So if a loser of a boxing match can win $100 million, how about winning in the victory of Christ? What are the riches there? Those are some riches. Riches according to the mercies of Christ. He says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's a mouthful. Okay. First of all, it says, I know the blasphemy. What blasphemy means, we think we know, slander, detraction. It means speech that is injurious to another person's good name, bringing down the name of Christ. Now, we can do blasphemy by saying a bunch of direct things, but there's also an indirect blasphemy, such as if we say, yeah, we're saved by grace, but... That's blasphemy because it detracts from what Christ has done. And letting folks get away with that, I think that's what part of our problem here, part of the issue that got Smyrna into the problem they were in. They saw all this idolatry, this imperial worship, and they didn't go along with it. They might have even said something about it. Hey, this isn't right. I saw a post on Facebook earlier this weekend, and this man who's a believer, He's a pastor, and he wanted to make a recognition that these people need to leave these Southern heritage monuments alone. Well, I asked him directly, what does this have to do with the gospel? We're never told anywhere to hold on to national heritage. When we're told to remember, we're supposed to remember God's promises and what He has and will do. That's what we remember. The CSA doesn't do a thing for us. Neither does blue or red or donkeys or elephants. None of that stuff. But these people were slandering, detracting. They had speech that was injurious against the name of God Almighty. And guess what? The Church of Smyrna got upset about it and they said something. Now again, we shouldn't be upset to the point where we are belligerent to people. But we should be very direct. You know, not bully people or in people's faces necessarily, but we should be very direct. You're not talking like that in my office. You're not talking like that in my house. You're not talking like that with my kids or wife around. God will have His way. So evidently, there were some religious blasphemers who they had an impious and reproachful speech about the divine majesty that was Jesus Christ. And these people were suffering for it. It says, of them which say they are Jews and are not. Not all of Israel is Israel. We know what's going on there. These people by bloodline, yes, they were descendants of Abraham. Yes, sure enough. But they were not of the calling of God. And they had turned, it looks like they also had pulled in some components of Christianity and mingled it with this deity worship of Tiberius. And he calls it a synagogue of Satan. That's not a gray zone speech. You know, that's not, oh, they're just a little bit lighter on certain things than we are. I mean, that's pretty direct speech there from Jesus. See, these blasphemers of the name of Christ, they also had buddied up with heresy. Okay? Now, we don't deal with things as possibly outlandish as they do, but taking on heretical traditions around us because they seem harmless, or fun, or I've always done it, or they might even be enjoyable. Hey, I like parties. I really do. I like being around music. I like doing that kind of stuff. It's pleasing, you know. Lex, he's just like me. You get a little bit of a beat going, and his shoulders start doing all kinds of things. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's dancing about it. You know, that's just a natural thing to have, you know. But how much of that stuff is blasphemous because of the nature of what's going on? It does not mean that they are less fitting of the word blasphemy or idolatry or Satanism. Oh, that's strong. That's strong. Well, yeah, it is. But that's the way it is. That's You know, that's what the Bible says. He says you've mingled in some things that look like this and also look like that, but that's of the synagogue of Satan. That's what he said. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Spirit of fear, how about that? Fear who you're supposed to, don't fear who you're not supposed to. Don't fear when we walk out that door what's going to happen. Don't fear people will cut our tires. Don't fear people will cut our throats. Don't fear. Don't be afraid of these people. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now these people, they like to think of different ways to really hurt people. You know, they took pride in that. It's almost like a competition, you know. Now, a lot of our inventions came through people trying to discover new ways of hurting each other. This is an implementation directly of the Spirit of Christ. The spirit of might. Where do we find our power? We find it in Christ. And the spirit of fear. Who do we fear? But none other than Christ, or God, and He alone. He alone. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Well, I'm afraid to talk to this cash out person because, you know, what are they going to think about me? That's a fear I have. I have a fear of rejection. You know, I don't know if you guys have that or not, but I fear being rejected. So do I want to talk to this people? What if I get embarrassed? You know, what if that happens? What if they say no? What if they get all mad and get loud? What am I going to do then? Don't be afraid of that stuff. He said, don't be afraid. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. That covers it all. None. Don't be afraid of any of them. Behold, look at it. The devil. We got an interesting person. We're not talking about the people of Smyrna anymore. We're not talking about the governors and the leadership. We're not talking about, you know, your brother and your father-in-law and these people that Jesus talks about. We got a new person involved here. Behold, the devil. He's got his spirit working in this world too. And it's all he will do every bit that God will allow him. Understand that. But understand too that God allowed him in this scenario to cast these people in. Why? For his own namesake. And if he could do it to Smyrna, and if he would allow his son, the Lord Jesus, who was sinless, to be put to death for these things, what pride and arrogance that we wouldn't be put to the same. What pride and arrogance. He said, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That word some. It's easy to read by that. Some of them were a little bit more daring than others. Some of them had a little bit more of a giddy up and go than others. Some of them may have sat home in fear. Think about that. I think about that. Which some am I? Am I some that win or am I some that stay at home in safety? Am I some that do everything in my power to bless the Lord? Oh my soul, I can't take it anymore. Bless the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, oh my soul. Am I one of those fellas or am I, I'm going to kick it back today. I'm going to rest. I'm going to do my thing. Which some am I? You know, which one of those people? These people were cast into bonds for the gospel. You mean they were supposed to keep an eye out for this devil? You mean this devil thing actually exists? He sure does. And he will injure us any way God will let him. Why? God never does anything without a purpose. Why? That ye may be tried. That ye may be tested out. That ye may have a trial run or made sure. Before church, Keith gave us a detailed instruction what we're supposed to do. Did he just make that up on the drive over here? No. That's a sure and tried operation he's got going there. It'll work. Well, this is made sure. He's going to do these things to them to make them sure. To solicit a specific response. You mean God would put them through that to get a specific response? I'm not saying He would. The Bible said He did. To get a specific attitude, action, a consequence, certain character. To bring out those seven spirits that we didn't know were there. A steadfastness, and ultimately to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. And he's being pretty specific with, man, ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, we don't have a specific time. Noah had a time. So many years, here comes water. In 10 days, you're going to be in tribulation. You're going to be in bonds. Well, y'all think they were released after 10 days for good behavior? What do you think happened there? They were put to death. And maybe they started on day one and it took them 10 days to die, or maybe they sat in a jail for 10 days and then had their head cut off. I don't know. But they died after 10 days. Whatever comes our way is just a little while. Folks being thrown in rivers, you know, and tied up sacks with snakes in them. That lasted just a little while. People were sawn in half. That lasted just a little while. People were roaming around in sheepskins. That lasted a little while. Bobbing for apples. Y'all know that story, huh? They'd boil up the water and a mother would have to stick her face in that hot water. She got an apple, great. Her face is burned off. If she didn't get an apple, too bad. Your kids die and your face is burned off. Just a little while. Being filleted by evil men is the only means of feeding your family. You know that happened? They would literally cut pieces of flesh off of folks, put it on a skillet, cook it, and feed it to the kids. And they said, if your kids don't eat your own flesh, they will die of starvation. That happened. That really happened. It happened for a little while. Just a little while. People burned alive. They were impaled. They were fed to starving animals. They were hung by the neck. They were disemboweled. All just a little while. Just a little while. Hey, this isn't supposed to be downbeating on us. Remember, this is coming from him that he was dead and now he's alive. You know? To be absent from the body is present with the Lord? How about that? Didn't say it was easy. But remember the Hebrew children we read of earlier, O King, you can do what you want. Throw us in the furnace or God will save us. Either way, we say no. We will not consent to blasphemy. As what you have here doing to us. Oh, God wouldn't do that. He's too loving. Remember the gong show? Gong. If a father would give up his own son, again, he to say that he would not put us through something for his glory, that's pride. That's pride. Show me a man or a woman in the Bible that lived for Christ and did not go through hard times and even die by him. Show me one. Show me one. They just had a wonderful life. Everything was Mai Tais and Yahtzee, you could say. I can't find any. I don't know any. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Now, we might not be put to death. Hopefully we don't. Maybe this is all... We don't have to take this all to the fullest extent. But we should all still be faithful unto death. Christ was faithful to death. We should be faithful unto death. Faithful to death. That's the terms of the contract. No resale value. Faithful to death. No retirement policy. These people were going to die almost immediately after they received this letter. They were. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You die, I'll give you a crown of life. How about that promise? Yeah. That's a promise from Christ, the Son of God. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So the riches I set aside for myself here in this earth, is that worthy to give up a crown of life? Is it? I wonder, the church in Smyrna, I would say, you know, that they... Or some, which the Bible says of the church of Smyrna, they're Hall of Fame status, you could say. You know, these people were top notch in Christ. In Christ. He gave them this, you could call it a benediction because they were going to die soon. He gave them this. But that's a wonderful, sweet promise he gave them. Hold fast. Hold fast. And you will have a crown of life in just a little while. Lucian, what if I told you you'd have a crown of life for holding fast in 10 days? What would you think? What if I told you, Keith, if you had a crown of life in 10 days? A crown of life? You wouldn't be at least be excited about that?
The tribulation.
The tribulation, yeah. But, man, think of the hope. We talked about hope this morning. The hope and the expectation. The personal, hand-delivered promise from God is right there in our laps. He'll give us a crown of life if we're faithful till death. He that hath an ear, that's us, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are we a church? Yes. He's talking right to us. He that overcometh, he that is faithful unto death, shall not be hurt of the second death. That's a message right there in itself. It really is. That's one more affirmation. He that believeth and was dead, yea, I am, liveth alive forevermore. Let me read that again. One more affirmation. He that liveth and was dead, behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Isn't it the same letter, same context here? So if we have a faith and trust and hope and expectation in that one that was dead and is alive and lives forevermore, and he says, you're faithful till death and you'll never see the second death, then that's exciting. Now, I agree with what Keith said. It's not something that you want on yourself. You know, I wouldn't wish myself to be in their spot at all. At all. But man, think of the hope that they had, the tears of joy that they had. Some. Remember it says some. So what's our message here? That we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would do, that we would go, that we would do, that we would not compromise with a lost and dying world, that we would have enough love about us with those spirits, that we would communicate what God has done for us, and have confidence that He would do that for somebody else. What if, you know, I'm glad somebody obeyed and they told me. You know? So let us be the one that goes out there. Don't let it be that some other denomination that has half-truths. Let it be us that tells somebody that Jesus saves. Let it be us. God, that we would have a spirit to go and to do unwavering and not buckle or bend and not compromise. And that we would be found to have a crown of life when we've served unto death. God help us. God help me. So Brother Charlie, would you please dismiss us in prayer tonight?
We have a Father, and thank you so much for the mercy of Jesus.